Colgate-Tooth Powder keeps smiling just right.
Colgate-Tooth Powder presents The Theater of Romance. Tonight, Colgate-Tooth Powder brings you Clifton Webb in The Man Who Came to Dinner. Tonight and every Tuesday night, Colgate Tooth Powder brings you the Theater of Romance with your favorite stars and your favorite stories and plays. And here is your host to tell you about tonight's presentation by George S. Kaufman and Moss Hart, The Man Who Came to Dinner, starring Clifton Webb.
Once upon a time, according to Kaufman and Hart, there was a very famous writer and critic who, in the course of a lecture tour, visited a small town in Ohio. There, he accepted an invitation to dinner at the home of a Mr. and Mrs. Stanley. Just as he was leaving their house, he slipped on a piece of ice and fell down the front steps, landing hard upon his very famous hips. The rest is history. Mr. Stanley, I am suing you for $150,000.
What? What did you say?
You mean because you fell on our steps, Mr. Whiteside?
Precisely. Since my doctor tells me that I should be confined in this moldy mortuary for at least another 10 days, and due entirely to your stupidity and negligence, I shall have to carry on my activities as best I can. I shall require the exclusive use of this room, as well as that drafty sewer which you call the library. I want no one to come in or out while I am in this room.
What do you mean, sir?
But we have to go up the stairs to get to our rooms, Mr. Whiteside.
Isn't there a back entrance?
Why, yes.
Then use that. I shall also require room for my secretary, Miss Cutler. I shall have a great many incoming and outgoing calls, so please use the telephone as little as possible. I sleep until noon, then require absolute quiet throughout the house until that hour. There will be 5 for lunch today. Where's the cook?
Mr. Whiteside, if I may interrupt for a moment...
Oh, you may not, sir. And now, will you all leave quietly, please, or must I ask Miss Cutler to pass among you with a baseball bat?
Oh,
now,
dear.
Look here, Mr. Whiteside.
There is nothing to discuss, sir. Considering the damage I have suffered at your hands, I'm asking very little. Good day.
Come on, dear.
Yes, Ernest. Well, I must say you certainly behaved with all your accustomed grace and charm.
Maggie, being my secretary does not give you any divine prerogative to criticize my manners.
When I finally give up this job, I may write a book about it all. Cavalcade of Insults, or Through the Years with Prince Charming.
Mr. Whiteside.
Good Lord, what is this?
My name is Harriet Stanley. I know you are Sheridan Whiteside. I saw this holly framed green against the pine trees. I remembered what you had written about holly. It was the nicest present I could bring you. Here, I'll just put it in your lap. Goodbye, Mr. Whiteside.
Was that an hallucination or a woman?
That was Mrs. Stanley's sister, Harriet. I met her when I arrived. She's quite strange.
Strange? She's right out of The Hound of the Baskervilles. You know, I've seen that face before somewhere.
Nonsense. You couldn't have.
There's nobody home. The Stanleys have been arrested for counterfeiting. Go away.
Good morning, Mr. Whiteside. I'm Bert Jefferson of the Massalia Journal.
Maggie, get rid of him.
I'm sorry. Mr. Whiteside is seeing no one, so would you please excuse us? Good day.
Mr. Whiteside seems to be sitting up and taking notice.
I'm afraid he isn't taking notice of the Massalia Journal. Do you mind?
You know, if I'm going to be insulted, I'd like it to be by Mr. Whiteside himself. I never did like road companies.
Touché, if I ever heard one. And in Massalia, too, Maggie dear.
How about an interview, Mr. Whiteside?
I never give them. Go away.
Mr. Whiteside, if I don't get this interview, I'd lose my job. You used to be a newspaper man yourself. You know what editors are like. Well, mine's the toughest one that ever lived.
Who is this editor? You?
In a word, yes.
You get the interview.
In the future, Sherry, I wish you'd let me know when you don't want to talk to people. I'll usher them right in.
This aging ingenue, Mr. Jefferson, I retain in my employ only because she is the sole support of her two-headed brother.
I see. Well, Mr. Whiteside, I understand you're quite a cribbage player. If you're in need of a partner, I'll be available.
Go get your set.
Right away.
And take Maggie along for the ride. I want a nap.
That would be a pleasure.
Don't speak too soon.
Sherry always does his best to make sure everyone will like
him. All right, now get out of here. Get out of here, both of you. You're upsetting my hip.
Come on, Maggie.
Now, see here, Mr. Whiteside, I want to talk to
now,
you.
Now, Ernie.
I have stood all that I'm going to stand from you.
Mrs. Stanley? May I remind you once more that I'm not a willing guest in this house. I am informed by my doctor that I must remain quiet for another 10 days. If, however, you insist on my leaving before that, thereby causing me to suffer a relapse, I shall sue you for every additional day that I am held inactive, which will amount, I assure you, to a very tidy sum. And now, please go away. I'd like to take my nap.
You know, Mr. Whiteside, I'm almost sorry we ever invited you to dinner.
Use Colgate tooth powder. Keep smiling just right. Use it each morning and use it at night. Don't take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate tooth powder.
Love is not blind. Love sharpens all the senses, especially a man's. It makes him acutely aware of every little thing about you. Everything. So don't let a little breath of trouble ruin your romance. What to do? Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate tooth powder. Yes, night and morning and before every date. Because scientific tests have definitely proved that in 7 cases out of 10, Colgate tooth powder instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. Colgate tooth powder cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. As for cleaning, no dentifrice at any price will clean your teeth more quickly and thoroughly than Colgate tooth powder. Remember the name, Colgate tooth powder, with the accent on powder.
The second act of The Man Who Came to Dinner, starring Clifton Webb. Several days later, Sheridan Whiteside is talking to Maggie Cutler, who's just come in after spending the afternoon with Bert Jefferson.
Good evening, Miss Cutler. Don't look now, but it's 7 o'clock.
I know. Sherry, Bert has written a play. He read it to me this afternoon. It just cries for Catherine Cornell. If you like it, will you send it to her, Sherry?
No, I will not. And while we're on the subject of Mr. Jefferson, you might ask him if he wouldn't like to pay your salary, since he takes up all of your time.
Oh, stop behaving like a spoiled child.
Don't take that patronizing tone with me, you flea-bitten Cleopatra. I'm sick and tired of your sneaking out like some lovesick high school girl every time my back is turned.
Sherry, I'm afraid you've hit the nail on the head. I am in love. Mr. Jefferson doesn't know it yet, but I'm going to try my darndest to marry him. You'd better look around for someone to replace me.
Replace you?
Uh-huh. Oh, here I am, a hard-bitten old cynic, behaving like True Story magazine and liking it.
We're leaving here tomorrow. Hip or no hip, we're leaving here tomorrow. Get me a train schedule and start packing. I'll pull you out of this, Miss Stardust. You are drugging yourself into this fantasy. And before you become completely anesthetized, I shall do everything in my power to bring you to your senses.
Sheridan Whiteside, don't you dare try any of your tricks on me. I'm on to every one of them.
Tricks? Me? Maggie. How can you talk that way after all these years of camaraderie? You, whom I've loved and cherished and raised like a father. Me? Tricks? Hello, Lorraine. How's my blossom girl? Good. I'm glad I was able to catch you in New York. Now, listen closely because I can't talk too loud. I've great news for you. I've discovered a wonderful play with an enchanting part in it for you. Cornell would give her eye teeth to play it. But I think you can land it if you get out here right away and turn up my charm. Now, wait, let me tell you. The author is a young newspaper man in this town. He's young and attractive and just your dish, my pet. All right, now here's what I want you to do. get on the first train and... Lorraine, my blossom girl.
Oh, Sherry, my sweet. Oh, darling, look at that poor, sweet, tormented face. Here, let me kiss it. Oh, Sherry, my sweet, I want to cry.
All right, all right. You made a very nice entrance, dear. Now relax.
Well, I got the first train out after you phoned me. Now, tell me all about the new playwright.
Sherry, Bert and I thought you might like to play some cribbage, Sherry. Hello, Lorraine.
Hello, Mr. Whiteside.
Hello, Maggie. I knew you must be around somewhere. How are you, sweet?
Isn't this wonderful, Maggie? Blossom Girl just dropped in out of the blue and surprised us.
Isn't anybody going to introduce me?
Oh, of course, of course. Lorraine, this is Mr. Bert Jefferson, of whom I was just speaking. Miss Lorraine Sheldon.
How do you do, Miss Sheldon?
Why, Mr. Jefferson, you don't look like a newspaper man. Mm-mm. You don't look like a newspaper man at all.
Really?
Mm-mm.
I thought it was written all over me in neon light.
Oh, no, not at all. I should have said you were an aviator or an explorer or something. They have that same kind of dash about them.
If you wish to hear the story of his life, Lorraine, kindly do so in your own time. And Maggie and I have work to do.
He's a world's rudest man, isn't he? Can I drop you, Mr. Jefferson? I'm going down to the hotel.
Well, thanks, but I've got my car. Suppose I drop you.
Oh, would you? Oh, that'd be lovely. We'll send the taxi off. See you in a little while, Sherry. Bye, Maggie. Goodbye.
Maggie, darling, I'll call you later to see if Sherry will let you off to see a movie.
All right, Bert.
Come on, Mr. Jefferson. I want to hear more about this charming little town. And I want to know a good deal about you, too.
Trick? You? After all these years of camaraderie? Oh, no, not you.
Tricks? How dare you? Lorraine Sheldon just happened to stop here.
I know, Sherry, I know. Well, it was beautiful dreaming while it lasted.
Maggie, it's after 11. The last show's over.
I know. I didn't really think Bert would phone. I just hoped I might be wrong. Sherry, I'm taking the midnight train. I'm leaving.
You're doing nothing of the kind. Now, see here.
Hello, Miss Stanley.
Dear Mr. Whiteside, I've been waiting and waiting for an opportunity to give you this picture of me as I used to be. I thought you might like it.
I appreciate your thinking of me, Miss Stanley. This is very thoughtful of you. I'm very fond of these old photographs. Thank you very much. When I get back to town, I shall send you a little gift.
Will you? Oh, thank you, Mr. Whiteside. I shall treasure it. Well, I must get back upstairs. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Look at this picture. Now I know where I've seen that face before. Now I know. Mr. Stanley had better not get too uppish with me.
What are you talking about?
It's a secret, Maggie. That is, a secret until I need to tell it.
Sherry, on that table you'll find your keys and your driving license. It's all over and you've won. I hope it's a great deal of satisfaction to you.
Oh, come, 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 come. What are you trying to do? Make me feel like a great big naughty boy? Honestly, Maggie, sometimes you can be very annoying.
Good evening. I'm a little high, but I can explain everything. Hi, Maggie. Hi, Miss Whiteside. Shake hands with a successful playwright. Miss Sheldon thinks the play is wonderful. Isn't that wonderful, Miss Whiteside?
Jefferson, I think you ought to go home, don't you?
What? No, it's the biggest day of my life. Listen, Maggie, Miss Sheldon says the play needs just a little bit of fixing. Due in 3 weeks. She's going to take me to a little place she's got in Lake Placid just for 3 weeks. Going to work on the play together. Isn't that wonderful?
Look, Bert, I suggest you tell us all about this later. Now, why don't you run along and call us up tomorrow?
All right, Miss Whiteside. Thanks for everything. Good night, Maggie.
Good night, Bert. I love him so terribly. Oh, Sherry, Sherry, why did you do it? Why did you do it?
See here, Whiteside, I want to talk to you.
Not now, Mr. Stanley. Can't you see you're walking right into the middle of an emotional disturbance?
Emotions. I have reached the limit of all human endurance. I have an octopus from William Beebe in my cellar, a crate of penguins from Admiral Byrd in my parlor, and at this very moment my wife is signing for 3 alligators from heaven knows who. My home has become a madhouse. Now, I just talked to Dr. Bradley, and he tells me you're well enough to leave. So get your things together and go, or I'll have you thrown out. Good night, sir.
Oh, dear. Nothing else could possibly happen. Nothing else.
I love you madly, madly. Do you hear what I said, madly? Kiss me, kiss me. Don't be afraid of my passion. Kiss me, kiss me. I can feel the hot blood pounding through your varicose veins.
Mr. Whiteside.
Banjo.
Well, this is a surprise. Banjo, in the name of heaven, put my nurse down.
Hello, Whiteside. Will you sign for this package, please?
Banjo, put that woman down. That's my nurse, you mental delinquent.
She fell in love with me the minute I came in the door.
I did not. Put me down.
Well, all right, if that's the way you feel about it.
What are you doing here in Massalia anyway, Banjo?
Well, I was on my way from Hollywood to New York. My plane was forced down because of the fog, so I thought I'd drop in on you. I can only stay a few minutes.
You didn't stand there looking like a floating custard, Miss Preen. Please go.
I am going, Mr. Whiteside, permanently. I'll leave my address on your bureau. You can send me a check. I am not only walking out on this case, Mr. Whiteside. I am leaving the nursing profession. If Florence Nightingale had nursed you, she'd have married Jack the Ripper. Good day.
I always bring out the best in people.
Well, if you don't mind, I have some packing to do, too. See you in Hollywood, Banjo.
Yeah. Hey, what's wrong with Maggie?
Banjo, I need help, and I need it quickly. For the first time in my life, I've been something of a heel.
It should happen to every man sometime in his life. Tell me about it.
Well, you see, Maggie met a man.
Well, all we have to do is get rid of Lorraine.
But how?
Well, now I'll tell you. Outside the door, I saw a life-size mummy case that someone sent you. Now, I'll push that in here while you call Lorraine. Maybe I can take her along in that.
Oh, it's fantastic. But how will you get her inside?
That's the only trouble. But call her in here anyway.
Lorraine?
Yes, Sherry?
I asked you to come over because I wanted you to be the first to see this genuine mummy case. Just think. It's once cased a woman, a lovely woman who lived and fascinated everyone she met, even as you.
Hey, look how narrow that case is standing against the wall. The woman must have been much thinner than Lorraine.
Oh, I don't think so, Banjo.
Open it, Banjo. Let's find out.
All right.
Step in, Lorraine. You know, my dear, someday you must play St. Joan.
Really, Sherry?
Yes, indeed. There's almost a halo over you now. A face front in that case and cross your hands over your chest.
I feel so silly, Sherry.
My dear, don't make light of these things. There's a strange beauty about you tonight, Lorraine. Pure Da Vinci. Right, Banjo?
Right, Sherry.
Lock it, quick.
Oh, it's locked. Oh, boy, it worked. Oh, what do you know?
Oh, will she be all right in there?
Oh, sure, she can breathe easy. I'll let her out as soon as we get on the plane. Marvelous soundproofing, these old mummy cases. You can't hear a thing.
Well, Mr. Whiteside, are you preparing to leave? Because I am preparing to call the police.
Ah, there you are, Mr. Stanley. Would you mind helping my friend downstairs with this mummy case?
I will do nothing of the kind.
Oh, I think you will, Mr. Stanley.
Oh, you do?
Or shall I inform my radio audience on my next broadcast that your sister, Harriet Stanley, is none other than the famous Harriet Sedley?
What?
Who murdered her mother and father with an axe 25 years ago in Gloucester, Massachusetts.
How did you find that out, Mr. Whiteside?
Your sister was kind enough to bring me a picture of herself when she was young. Murders are quite a hobby of mine, remember? Mr. Stanley will help you down, Banjo.
Banjo and Mr. Stanley doing with that mummy case, Sherry?
I've been playing Cupid, Maggie. A little out of character for me, but I've been doing all right at it. The field is clear for you now, and you have my blessing.
Where's Lorraine?
She's gone for a little trip with Banjo.
In the mummy case? Oh, Sherry. Oh, Sherry, that's wonderful.
I'm hoping now, can I come back?
Yes. We've just been talking about you, Bert. Maggie, get me my hat and coat and your railroad ticket. I'm leaving for New York.
Well, before you go, is it all right if I ask Maggie to marry me?
Oh, darling. Darling, of course it is.
Who asked you? Mr. Jefferson, I will take the matter into consideration.
And I'll marry you while he's considering.
Sabotage.
Darling, darling.
Now, will you two please stop cooing until after I'm gone? I've got to get out of here. Bert, I'm taking your play to Catherine Cornell. Be good to Maggie. I love her very much.
Sherry, you're wonderful.
Well, yes, I am. I must admit it. My hat and coat. Come on now, hurry. Goodbye, Mr. Stanley. Mr. Stanley. I don't think it hasn't been pleasant, because it hasn't.
Goodbye, Mr. Whiteside.
Goodbye, Mr. Whiteside.
I'll help you down the front steps.
You take one arm and I'll take the other.
Ah, this fresh air smells wonderful.
Careful now. The steps are still slippery.
Watch out. Watch out, you comedy fools. Watch out. Oh! Miss Preen! Miss Preen! Get that nurse back. Get that doctor. Oh, my hip. My hip. Get me back in the house. Get me back, I tell you. Confound you and your invitation to dinner. Stanley, I'm suing you for $350,000.
Use Colgate tooth powder. Keep smiling just right. Use it each morning and use it at night to help you rate with every date. Use Colgate tooth powder.
Young lady, remember that evening? Remember how he looked at you? How close he came as though he was going to kiss you, but didn't? Perhaps a little breath of trouble ruined your romance. It's happened so many times. So don't let a breath of trouble, I mean unpleasant breath, spoil your chance for romance. I'll tell you what. Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate tooth powder. The tooth powder that cleans your teeth as it cleans your breath. Scientific tests prove that Colgate tooth powder, in 7 cases out of 10, instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. Colgate tooth powder cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. Money can't buy a dentifrice that will clean your teeth better than Colgate tooth powder. Remember the name, Colgate tooth powder, with the accent on powder.
In tonight's play, Clifton Webb starred as Sheridan Whiteside. Vicki Vola appeared as Maggie and Richard Colmer played Bert. The Man Who Came to Dinner by George S. Kaufman and Moss Hart was adapted especially for this program by Gene Holloway. The music was composed and conducted by Ben Ludlow, and the entire production was directed by Mark Loeb.
Next week, it is our pleasure to bring you one of the greatest plays of our American stage, the story of a youthful romance threatened by a mother's selfish love for her son, The Silver Cord by Sidney Howard. Join us again next Tuesday night.
Hello, everybody, hello. Halo is the shampoo that glorifies your hair. So hello, everybody, halo.
Yes, use Halo shampoo if you want naturally bright and beautiful hair. For Halo contains no soap, therefore leaves no dulling film. The first time you use Halo, see how your hair sparkles and gleams with natural brilliance. How the deep, natural color looks brighter, glossier. Even in hardest water, Halo makes oceans of rich, fragrant lather. Halo quickly carries away loose dandruff and dirt, needs no lemon or vinegar rinse. Say hello to Halo and goodbye to dulling soap film. Get Halo shampoo at any cosmetic counter.
So hello, everybody, halo. Halo shampoo, halo.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.